thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Father, this morning I thank you and I love you and I give you glory. Father, thank you for being the God in the day and the God in the night. Thank you for being God in the good times and the bad times. Thank you for being God on the mountain and God in the valley. And thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm so thankful this morning for all that God has done. And I'll tell you something, church. I guess God had to let what happened to me yesterday in order for me to get to the place that I was last night and get to this thought. Why should we be happy? Just think about that. Why should we be happy? Well, there's a lot of reasons to be happy. I think the world, though, asks a question like this. Well, why should I be happy? Well, if you're lost, you shouldn't be happy. I must be honest with you. You're enjoying pleasure in sin for a season. When that season ends, you'll die and you'll go to a devil's hell. I don't mean to be mean, but that's plain, right? Plain preaching is what we need in this day and age. We don't need a bunch of literally delivered people who can't say what needs to be said. I won't try to be mean. But you know, the truth of the matter is this, if you're lost, you're on your way to hell. Period. End of subject. Starting over, nowheres. You have to be born again in order to get to be on your way to heaven. You have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and start down that pathway in order to get there. By the way, church, listen carefully. To accept Him and follow Him is His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that means follow Him. Stay with Him. Keep going together. Go on. Don't stop. Don't let nobody turn you around. Don't let nobody slow you down. And by the way, if the devil gets in the way, kick him out of the way and keep on going. I mean, that's the way it needs to be this morning. But Christians, a lot of times today, we say, well, I'm going. I'm just not going to get there as fast as somebody else. I'm not going to get there as good as somebody else. Can I tell you this morning, I'm imperfect, I'm getting old, I'm getting slow. But I'm going to get there just as fast as the Lord can take me. And I'm going to go with everything I can bring. And that's not the treasures of this earth, that's the treasure laying up in heaven. I like to have some souls saved on my way. I like somebody to see Jesus inside of me. And I want them to see what it is to be happy in the Lord instead of sad and destroyed by the world. Because I'm telling you something. I'm not going to say you couldn't have gone through what I went through, because I don't know. You might have been able to go through it better. But I've never been through what I've been through yesterday with a customer. I was called filthy names for about 15 minutes. By the time it was all said and done, I was suffering with anxiety. I was shaking. I've never had to shake facing a customer. I was shaking to the point that I thought I was going to get sick. When I got home, I was talking about I was ready to curl up into a ball and just stop. I was scared to death the phone would ring again and then I'd have to go back to that same house or something else was going to go. I mean, just tell you, church, I've never been through what I was through yesterday. But can I tell you this? When God began to deal with my heart on this subject matter, after we started, I said, I've got to listen to somebody preach. I didn't say it out loud, but I need something going inside of me. And the preacher started preaching. And the word caught me. I preached on happy sometime back. We were over in the little chapel there one Sunday night, and I preached on the word happy found 28 times in your Bible. 28 times is 4 times 7, church. That's 2 times 14, which is what? 2 times 2 times 7. If you think about it that way, you can't get around it. If you want to be happy, you've got to be happy in the Lord. You've got to use His Word to get happy. So the preacher was preaching, and I thought about this. I looked up the word happy again. I'm not going to preach 28 verses on happy, but I'm going to say this. God asked the question here, talking to Israel. He said, happy art thou? Are you happy this morning? If not, can I tell you, you need some prayer. You need some prayer. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you need some prayer. If you're not happy, you need to get things right with God. You need to get back to where you need to be with God. You need to get strong in God. You need to get faithful with God. You need to rely on God. You need to trust in God. You need to lean on God. You need to let God carry you. You need to call on God and keep calling on God and keep calling on God. Can I tell you, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, like I said, about 2 o'clock thereabout. I remember looking at the clock. It was 1:28, and I was thinking, I'll never get to sleep. God, help me. I need some help. And I was praying. I prayed for people I hadn't prayed for in a long time. I prayed and I just kept asking God and I kept praying. Finally, I know that I went to sleep a little bit after that. And I'm just telling you, church, this morning when I woke up so happy in God. It scared me to come to church. I was afraid I was going to walk into some pickle juice. You ever feel that way? I mean, you're happy. You're scared to death. You're going to walk into sour. He said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? A people saved by the Lord. He realized they was as lost as a goose. Israel didn't know up from down a lot of times. We couldn't figure out why they could get out and still want to go back. I mean, after all, why would you want to quit being slaves to making, stomping mud in the ground and making brick and mortar, slaves to tilling the ground and not getting the fruit thereof, slaves to making garments and not getting to wear the garments, slave to have to toll one thing one place and another thing another place, and if you didn't do it in the way they wanted to, you do, they'd beat you and they'd imprison you and even kill you, and here you are getting led by the hand of God out of Egypt, and on the way out they wanted to go back. How in the world could that happen? They weren't happy. They were always murmuring and groaning about things they didn't know. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm on my way to Canaan, I don't want to go back to Egypt. But God said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. That's God. And who is the source of thy excellency? That's God. God said, who do you got like me? Who in the world is around you like I'm around you? Who can do for you what I can do for you? Who's going to help you, lead you, guide you, direct you like I do? He said, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Can I tell you, there's victory in Jesus. And one of these days, we will step on that serpent's head, just like Jesus did. Hey, the old devil's out there trying to do everything he can. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come life, come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus has got better for you than the devil does. If you go over there, this morning, I said that I was supposed to start back in verse 26, and I forgot. But he said, there is none like unto the God of Jeshua, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and his excellency of the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting, look at that. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out thine enemies from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. In other words, the enemy's going to get destroyed, not the children of God. Israel, thou shalt dwell in safely alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of the corn and the wine, and also on the heavens shall drop their dew. What's the fountain of Jacob? Can I tell you something this morning, church? That's the Spirit of God. That's Jesus Christ. That's the promise given to you and I. He's got a fountain, the Bible says, and we sing the song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Jesus, when he talked to the woman at the well, he said, thou knewest from whom
living blood that speaketh to thee, and ask thee of water, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given you a living water springing up from within. Can I tell you this morning, church, are we in trouble because we don't know who we serve anymore? And he's still God. And he's still on the throne. He's still answering questions and prayers. He's the everlasting. Look what he said. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy hill, and his excellency of the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm glad to say this morning that I'm standing in the everlasting arms of the Lord. We talk about leaning on Jesus, right? A safe and secure from all harm. I'm glad to do this morning just exactly that. If you go over to the book of Job, here's another reason why that we should be happy. If you go there into the 5th chapter, we'll pick up reading in the 15th verse there. He said, "But he saveth the poor from the..." Look at that. From the sword. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible said, blessed are they which are poor in spirit. Look at that very carefully there this morning. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hands of the mighty. Can I tell you something, church, this morning? I'm glad that God saveth me like nobody else can. He said, so the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and faithfulness. I'm glad this morning to know that my sins are underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that I'll stand before God. I'll have on a white robe, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm holy, not because I'm righteous, but because He is every one of those things. And by His blood, I've been redeemed, blood bought, born again. Hallelujah! This morning, wake up! Church, wake up. You're either going to heaven or hell. You ought to be happy about heaven. Wake up. If you ain't getting this, I am. I'm glad I'm getting it. Maybe you will later on when you wake up. I'm glad this morning. He goes on, he said, behold, happy. I'll be smiling. Happy is the man in whom God correcteth. I'm glad God wants me like nobody else does. It always makes me happy to get back right with God. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh a sword and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make cold. He shall deliver thee out of six troubles, yea, and seven shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. In war from the power of the sword, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of the destruction when it cometh. When destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Why? Because you're happy. Amen. Children of God ought to be happy. Happier than what we are. Sitting around, drowning in our sorrow and our pity because we don't look at who redeemed us. I pray to God you don't have to go through what I went through yesterday in order to get happy today. Can I be honest with you? I'm telling you, church, I've been cussed before, but I've never been cussed like that. But God has made me happy today. And you can't take it out of me. And you can't stop me. You want to be a dill pickle, you be a dill pickle. You don't like it, go home for a while and pray about it. Brother Ernie, listen to me, church.
We come into the house of God. The Bible says that Jesus said, He said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. A house of prayer is a happy place. Thieves come in, pickle juice, trying to steal the joy and the happiness of other people. They don't know you. I ain't happy. Nobody's going to be happy. Well, if you don't want to be happy, I don't know what to tell you. I'm happy. Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm happy that I'm not perfect. You know why? Because if I was perfect, I'd have to put up with me and you. Because that's what Jesus does. Amen? He's putting up with me and you. Unperfect people who He loves dearly and wants us to be happy. Happy is the man, the Bible says. Go over to Psalms chapter 146 this morning. 146. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll take the amount of time. All right? You pray with me and be with me. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I will live, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of men, nor the son of man, talking about you and me. He said, in whom there is no help, his breath goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth. And in the day he is thought perish. When I die, everything I think is going to be done. Over with. Matter of fact, I'll say this. You'll probably forget what I said by the time you get home this afternoon if you ain't careful. But when I die, I will have no more thought. I'm glad. I won't be thinking about nobody or nothing. But when I wake up in heaven, I'll be praising the Lamb of God. I'll be there walking around. I won't. You know, you can say when I get to heaven, I ain't going to ask nothing when I get to heaven because everything I need to know, I'll know. I'm not going to question God about nothing. I'm going to praise Him. I'm not going to go to Jesus and say, why did this happen? I'm going to praise Him. When I'm sitting there, standing there, kneeling there, running around there, I don't know what I'll be doing there, but I know this, I will not be thinking about nothing but how wonderful it is to be in the presence of God and know that there ain't nothing wrong anywhere around me, nothing's going to happen anywhere. There is no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no death, there's no parting, there's no taking. Hey, church, and there is no pickles. Because everybody will be happy over there. Happy. Are you catching on? I'm talking about happy. Happy. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Whose hope is in the Lord, his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. I mean to think about something right here for just a second. I read this last night and I got, man, can you imagine the day of the old devil thinks he's going up and realizes he's headed down. One of these days you and I, by the grace of God, our heads will be held up. We will be lifted up. He lift up those that are bowed down. We'll bow before Him and He'll lift us. I'm thinking about old John when he's there before Jesus and he falls down as one that is dead. And the Bible said, and the Lord touched him
and lifted him up. Can I tell you, one of these days it'll be like that for you and I, as children of God, and he'll lift us up. But one of the wicked stand before him in their pride and their arrogance. All of a sudden, they'll be turned upside down. They'd be headed down with a head down. Amen. And you and I will be headed up with a head up. That makes me happy. Yes. He said in verse 10, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion. Unto all generations praise ye the Lord." Happy is that man. Can I tell you something else, church? This is one we don't like to think about, but here it is. We need to really ponder this one for just a moment of time. Like I said, some people don't know you're a Christian. But the devil does, so he sets them out against you like a ravenous wolf dog with rabies. They don't know you from Adam. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they on you like fly on stink. And I'll tell you something. A lot of times I wondered why. But this morning I know why. Because what they don't know, the devil knows. And the devil uses them. And their tools and instruments in his hand. This guy yesterday didn't know he was doing the devil's work. I guarantee you, I think, oh, devil, tell me what to do. But he was a tool of him. And I mean, tell you, he was trying his best to rake me over the coals and beat me up, defeat me, and send me home as a coward. And it near worked. But I'm glad on the way. Oh, I'm glad on the way. God began working. I'm glad when I got home. Mama's hands there to hug me. Tell me, we love you, Daddy. And just kept on, isn't it?
We love
you
here at this church. I'm faithful for the church. That's why we've had you 14 years. I hope that makes you feel better.
Oh, sis, the love that we get. God's got greater love than you can imagine, church. We just ain't getting it. We dig in shallow when we should be going in deep. We're skimming the surface. God, listen to me. If God is the cream on top of the milk, can you tell me this? How deep's the cream? You couldn't skim it off with a ladle, that's for sure. Well, go over into Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which shall try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. I'm not the only one who's ever been through it. You're not the only one who's ever been through it. Can I tell you, they did it to Jesus, and you and I are no better than he are. He said, but rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. So like I said, church, we don't think about it this way. Some people don't know that God didn't know me. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know I was a Christian. He didn't know I was a dad. He didn't know I was a husband. He didn't know I was a granddad. He didn't know I was a pastor. He knew nothing about me. But the devil knew everything about me that needed to be known, and allowed that mindset to set in that man. And I mean to tell you, he had a field day with me. And I tell you, you say, well, Brother Hardy, if he didn't know, then how can you be suffering? Because when the devil does it, and the devil knows you're suffering because you're a Christian, he knows all about that. Remember, the Bible says that there is a spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. And that spirit they may not even recognize is there. And that's the spirit of the devil. But rejoice.
Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And that's hard. But one of these days, the leaps of praise will come forth. And you say, Brother Hardy, why do we got to go through it? Well, I want you to look at this real quick. I'll close with two more passages. I'll close. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We got to go through it because that's the way God ordained it. But look at what He said. Just as Peter was supposed to keep his eyes on the Lord when he got out of the boat, you and I are supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord while we're here. He said, looking unto Jesus. Hey, church, can I tell you, we'll see the sorrow, we'll see the destruction, we'll see the aggravation, we'll see the cursing, we'll see the anger, I mean, we'll see it all. And when we're looking at that, it's real hard to see Jesus, is it not? Peter got his eyes off of the Lord. He was looking at the waves. He was listening to the wind. And it got his mind off, and he began to sing. But I still say, praise God, that when Peter realized he was drowning, he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and lifted him up. Peter didn't swim up. Jesus lifted him up. Hey, I'm telling you, church, if we got to go through this world, when we begin to sing, realize this, just get your eyes back on Jesus. Amen. You want to be happy? Get on the happy man. So he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he gave us this next thought. Who for the joy that was set before him, and I've preached on this before, what joy? What joy? You know, we talk about Jesus standing on the portals of heaven, just waiting to come back. Just waiting. He's standing there at the portals of heaven. He's waiting. He's saying, God, when? Father, when? Can I go get him now? We say that that's the way Jesus is. Can I tell you something, church? If you read that scripture the right way there, the Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him suffered the cross there. He was standing at the portals of heaven waiting to come down to die for you and I, just the same as he was waiting to come back and get us. He saw the joy that was set before him. The salvation of his creation. And he was waiting with anticipation to come to redeem us. Can I tell you this? How many of you, you're waiting for dessert. And you're just waiting for it. It's coming. It's coming. Dessert's coming. And you're waiting. Jesus was looking ahead in time. We know his humanity. We've seen him. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. We saw his humanity on display. But can I tell you this? We oftentimes forget about his deity, his Godhead, his love. Listen to me. When he was up in heaven, he knew what it was going to go on. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, it was set out there ahead of time. He knew all about it. And yet the Bible tells me Jesus was rejoicing in his heart. He was anticipating getting to come down here because he saw old Ernie Himmler was on his way to hell. And he was waiting. He knew that when I was born, that I was going to be a few days and full of sin. He knew what I was going to do. He knew that I was going to get hooked on alcohol as a young man. And he knew all of these things. And yet when he looked ahead in time, he said, listen, I've got something to burn him. Get a hold of it. It'll change his life. Hell, February the 14th, 13th of 1987, he spoke to me. I listened to him. But praise be to God, 1990 there in May, I got a hold of it. and he got a hold of me. And there was joy in my life. And there was joy in his life. Now, can I paint you a picture this morning real quickly? So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we know this, that John tells us he's making intercession. Now, what kind of picture of joy do we get? Well, Jesus knew this before we knew this. Let me paint you a picture. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when they shall see him, there's no beauty that they should desire him." That made Jesus smile. You say, "Brother Arnie, no, it didn't." The Bible says, "For the joy that was set before him." Isaiah was written after Jesus. Why? Because he's always been. Matter of fact, he wrote it. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus wrote it. It's him. There's no form, no comeliness, there's nothing there that we should desire him, right? "He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as our faces, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Oh, but that's just terrible. Jesus was smiling. There was joy on the other side. We've heard it. Joy comes in the morning. Huh? "He that goeth forth weeping shall come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him." We know that there's sorrow, but there's joy coming in the morning. "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Can I tell you, church, look at this very carefully. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And like with his stripes, we are healed. Can I tell you something? Look at that very carefully right there. He mentioned these four things there, saying this, that it was all going to be done for you and I. And he, knowing that doing it for you and I, we would have the opportunity of salvation, which would give us the opportunity to be happy. And Jesus was joyful because he was going to set us free. I'm glad. I'm going to do it again. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm happy. And I'm not ashamed of it. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. He opened yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, us, he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt see, make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And listen to me carefully this morning. As God was looking on this, and we talk about how that God had to turn his back and not look at the Lord because the sin that was on Jesus, God had to turn away. Can I tell you something, church? I can just honestly say this morning, and you say, Brother Ernie, it can't be like that. Listen to me. God was looking ahead of time, just like Jesus was looking ahead of time, and God knew one day that He was going to come down here, and He was going to shed His blood, and He was going to sacrifice His life, and there is all going to be done. And the Bible said it pleased Him. Why? Because He saw that the only way of salvation, the only way of redemption for His creation was to shed His Son's blood, and He was happy that He was going to do it. Now, was He up there saying, oh, my son's going to die? Yeah, yeah. No, He was saying, my son is going to redeem our creation. And they're going to get to come to be with us. And they're going to be happy. So I'm happy. When God saw what was done, the Bible says He was pleased. Now, I don't know about you, but when something pleases me, I'm happy. I get a smile. That's what happened. And God did it for you and me. Jesus did it for you and me. And if you ain't happy this morning, you need to get right with God. And if you got something going on trying to steal your joy, just bring it to the Lord. Let Him deal with it. Because I'm telling you something, church. You can be falling almost down to where you think you're going to get up, and there ain't nothing but mud on your face. But if you'll just put your faith back in Jesus, He'll make you happy again. Would you stand this morning? Father, You know the needs of every heart, mind, soul here. And so we just ask You today, dear God, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, and amen. If you desire to come and pray, would you come?